Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, as you said, we weren't so efficient with our two-pointers, but I think you have to take the risk with them. I had a chance running through the middle. Like I was thinking, there's a goal on here, and I'm still 50 yards out. It opened, but you have to take the two-point efforts, I think.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look back at last night's League of Ireland clash between Shamrock Rovers and 10-man Dundalk, who struck late to earn a point. Benjamin Sheshko's hot streak continues for United, who moved back into the top four with a win over Everton. And we look ahead to tonight's Champions League playoff action with four last 16 spots up for grabs. But first to events at Tallaght Stadium last night, and Dundalk scored late on to earn a point away to champions Shamrock Rovers. Rovers went ahead in the first half with a goal from Pico Lopez. He headed home a free kick from Jack Byrne. But Rovers couldn't get that second goal, even after Dundalk had Vinnie Leonard sent off 15 minutes from time. Danny Mullen came off the bench for Kieran Kilduff's side and equalised in the 90th minute when Rovers goalkeeper Ed McGinty failed to hold on to a cross from Bobby Burns. Dundalk have drawn all three games on their return to the Premier Division and all against three of last season's top five. Kieran Kilduff told Off the Ball's Ben Symes he felt that his side deserved at least a point.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I thought we deserved something out of the game. I thought we were excellent, especially in the second half, and probably getting one down to 10 players, you're feeling maybe, oh, it's going to get away from you, but you'll be left with nothing. And I probably struggled the last 2 weeks looking the lads in the eye because I thought they deserved to win the games, and came away with draws. And tonight I was going, I didn't want to be facing them late on going, well, listen, you were brilliant, but we lost. So the fact that we're able to take something away, yeah, I suppose makes it a little bit easier on us, because we did come to try and win the game. The way it materialised, we'll probably take the point and move on.
Rovers boss Stephen Bradley said his side were well below their usual standards.
More frustrated with the performance, if we're being honest. I think the results can happen. That's not something we get caught up in. That's usually a byproduct of what you produce on the pitch. And I felt we were well below our levels tonight. There was moments in the game, of course. There was moments of brilliance. Graham Bourke at times in the first half was unplayable. And we played off the back of that at times, but in general we weren't good enough, and you have to give Dundalk credit, and I think they deserved the point and kept fighting and got the point in the end.
Michael Noonan started up front for Rovers, and with much talk around his possible exit from the club, Stephen Bradley offered these words to try and clarify the situation around the young striker.
What I can say is that something was concealed from the board, first of all. It was concealed from Kieran Medler, our chairman. It was concealed from Michael and his family. And it was also concealed from myself and Steve MacPhail. And when it came to light, the board, Kieran Medler, Michael and his family, we all acted together in the correct manner. And I think that's really important. Like I said, when it came to light, the club acted in the right way and the only way. And like I said, we're all very aligned on that. Michael, his family, the board, and Kieran. And that's probably as much as I can say at the moment, because it's obviously ongoing.
Obviously, it is ongoing. But you say something is concealed. Do you mean that it's concealed from the club, Michael, everyone, or did some parties know about this, and maybe there was not clear communication between everyone, or is everyone just completely blindsided by whatever information has came to light?
Completely blindsided. The board, it was concealed from the board, concealed from Kieran, and concealed from Michael and his family. So nobody within us, the board, Kieran, or Michael or his family, none of us knew about it.
Minister for Sport Patrick O'Donovan's comments on the burning of the Oriel Park pitch by Drogheda fans dominated the airwaves yesterday, including a possibility to pause the construction of all-weather pitches for League of Ireland clubs as some sort of collective punishment. Kieran Kilduff says his side is lucky their next three games are away from home.
It's disappointing Saturday morning, I'm not going to lie. We arrived into training and we're getting ready for Monday, and I probably didn't realise how bad it was. I'm surprised the game was allowed to go ahead. There's divots in the pitch, scorch marks on the pitch, and it's unplayable for a Premier Division game now. The academy teams, girls and boys, we have to use that pitch after it, and it's not as good as it was. Obviously it's damaged now, so it needs to be repaired. And listen, thankfully for me and the players, the game on Monday meant we probably didn't have that much time. I did walk the pitch early Saturday morning, obviously the night after, seeing it in the cold light of day, and it's just disappointing. We haven't been on our new pitch long. I don't think it can ever happen again. I think we do need to, I don't want the book to be thrown at anyone or anything like that, but I just think we'd have to probably highlight the seriousness of that. you know, it doesn't just have implications on the night, it has a knock-on. It has knock-on to the next one and the next one and the next group that are on it. And we just have to make sure that doesn't happen again, because obviously we're disappointed. We're just lucky that we're away from home this Monday against Rovers, Friday against Pats, and then the following week against Galway. So it will give us time to repair it. But I suppose it's gone really. It's after gathering a lot of pace now in the media side of things as well. But from a footballing point of view, we've moved on.
I'm hearing to the words you're saying there, and I'm kind of suspecting from your point of view that you're probably thinking, if God forbid this was to ever happen again, there's no way the pitch should be playable and wouldn't be playable. Is there, like, I'm thinking potential health and safety risk, the players who are playing out on that pitch?
100%. We couldn't use that corner of the pitch the other day in training, because someone's standing in a scorch mark burn, you know, just divot in the pitch. I don't think it ever crossed anyone's mind on the night. It was on the telly and there was a huge media. It was just a flare, but the damage is to the surface. So there would be a health and safety issue going forward. If that was to happen, the game could potentially be called off because of it's uneven ground. It's not like it's going to be able to brush it back over. It's an artificial surface. The hole is there to stay unless you can fill it. So there's work to be done, obviously, to fix it now. But that only probably struck me and myself on Saturday morning when we were in for training, going, you know, you can't use that corner of the pitch, you know, for training. So that was the disappointment.
On last night's news round and off the ball, Owen Sheehan, Michael McCarthy, Stephen Doyle and Vinnie Perth discussed the amplification of the situation on Monday.
He is essentially freezing funding of these astro/synthetic pitches for the time being. And he's holding back funds, essentially affecting policy on sport in this country as a result of a couple of idiots on Friday night.
This was an act of vandalism. And also, an element of danger to it in terms of a young 12-year-old child has been affected by this. That's the big thing in it all for me. There was an act of vandalism by some people, and it's not good enough. It has to be sort of a watershed moment or a red line within the league. There's two parts at play. One is somebody decided it was a good idea to throw this flare onto a plastic pitch, knowing the damage it would cause. I mean, it's happened once or twice up in Ireland before, but to happen at sort of such a big moment for the club in terms of the minister there to actually do the grand opening of it, and within a couple of minutes is damaged. And also then, I think for the League of Ireland, I think it's such a bad story, and the minister's comments are part of that. Why is it such a bad story? Because we've come a long way, okay? We've come a really long way as a league. But we've only come a long way because we are coming from such a low ebb. We actually haven't come that far. And I think back a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of noise around somebody called our grounds Kips. And when I played, they were Kips. And they probably haven't changed overly. But what they have done is they've become full of passion, full of sort of local togetherness, all of those big things that you want. And that sort of gets us away with what they are. They're sort of tremendous places to be on a Friday night, whether it's in Dalymount, whether it's in Oriel Park, they're part of the community. And what these idiots have done the other night, or thugs have done the other night, has sort of not helped us.
I think the bigger story here has to be the political overreach of the minister. You know, it's such a massive overreaction, a knee-jerk reaction to him being at the game. And the other thing is, like, this idea that, like, the government investment is this kind of, like, almost a personal thing that has to be protected. It's kind of nonsense. There's very little investment actually going into football. And I think it is improving, to be honest, and in fairness to the current government. It's improving and it is getting better all the time. But this is picking on a small enough incident in the grand scheme of things to make a really big deal of something. I think it's very political, I have to say. And if you look, there's an article in the Mail on Sunday yesterday. The government, the current cabinet, are spending 30 million euros a year, over 30 million euros a year, on communication staff. You can't tell me that isn't money that can be, you know, saved or whatever. You know what I mean? This idea that every penny spent on synthetic grass is this gift given to the people of Ireland, it's a bit nonsense. Like, these things are important investments in the country.
And if you want to listen back to that chat in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed. Our next commentary game comes from Dalymount Park this Friday. The clash of bitter rivals, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers. Jonathan Higgins will be joined in the commentary box by Vinnie Perth.
Versus Shelton. 2. Kept his second goal, and Shilton was left without a hope.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Villa at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB Football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB Football podcast feed now.
Manchester United picked up their fifth win in six games under Michael Carrick, thanks to Benjamin Sheshko's goal in the second half against Everton at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. The 1-0 win moves United back into fourth place. They're just 3 points behind Aston Villa in third, and they're 3 points ahead of Chelsea and Liverpool. Interim boss Michael Carrick praised the impact of the Slovenian striker.
If we defend as a team and we put the work in, then we always feel we got a chance. You know, the clean sheet was just as important as the goal, but it was a fabulous goal for Ben. It's just a really confident, strong finish, which I liked. You know, it was fantastic. Delighted for him again. He's made an impact again, and he keeps doing it.
United We Stand editor Andy Mitten was in Liverpool last night for the game, and he says United are in a much better position this season than they were last season.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm running out of things to say in terms of me being optimistic, because it has been a while.
Yeah.
I mean, this time last year, United were 14th and 15th. We did have the plus of the Europa League final, which was a nice distraction. But I feel there's a much more solid base being built. And Jason Wilcox said to me in September, this will not be built on sand. And you see him, younger players coming through. Still got two more years of changing in the best case scenario. But you've got the goalkeeper, who will get better. You've got defenders like Yoro, maybe Heaven. Patrick Dorgu, before he was injured, was doing well. Benjamin Sesko. The lads who came in, Cunha and Bumo, Premier League proven, early mid-20s. So there is a logic to all of this.
That FA Cup final team that you referred to there, Onana, Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Martinez, Dalot, Mainoo and Amrabat, Garnacho, Rashford, McTominay and Fernandes was the starting 11. And even the subs who came on, I was just checking there, it was Johnny Evans, Mason Mount, Rasmus Højlund and Victor Lindelof. That open heart surgery that Ralf Rangnick spoke about on the first team squad has actually happened. And maybe in time, some of the credit for that will go to Amram. Maybe in time it isn't. Maybe it's just the football director's like, no, we're getting rid of all those. And it happened on Ruben Amram's watch. But that is a really significant turnover of players. Even Man City, who has spent $1 billion in the meantime, have the spine of their team very similar on that day to what it is now. So... the imperceptible change is now perceptible.
Yeah, and I think there'll be more change. I think in a couple of years, I'd be surprised if Maguire and Shaw were there. Casemiro is leaving. Some of the players are out on loan. Their futures need to be decided. But they've been doing well. This isn't a Jadon Sancho situation for Marcus Rashford. He's actually done very well at Barcelona. There will be demand for him. He has huge, huge wages. I think there's more of a realism about Manchester United's wages now than there needed to be. The club was losing £90 million a year. And then you got the bigger picture stuff. What's going to happen with the stadium? You have distractions like Jim Ratcliffe's comments a couple of weeks ago, which nobody needed at all. That caused big problems for a lot of people. And it split the fan base, which is not good. You know, Manchester United, the word United is supposed to unify and be united and no barriers to entry for anyone who supports Manchester United. And I'm proud that there's a global support, people of all ages and all creeds and religions. It's something I absolutely celebrate. And his words were seen as divisive. And I think he's got to be more careful because he is seen as the custodian of Manchester United. It's all right giving comments to a chemical conference. When you're doing it in his position, your words are going to travel far. So hopefully he'll learn from that. Hopefully the team will continue to do well under Carrick. I didn't expect it to be this good at all. Them first two wins.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube as well. And if you want to listen to that chat back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Everton have gone 7 home games without a win. Their manager David Moyes says last night's performance was good despite the loss.
You have to win games if you're going to keep moving on, and we've not been doing that quite as much as we'd like to do, especially here. Performance wise, I generally think that we done very well in lots of bits. I thought we put in great effort to try and get the goal, but just lacked the quality maybe to make that goal count.
Ireland international Seamus Coleman was an unused sub for the Toffees last night, and former Ireland international Kevin Kilbane, a former Everton player himself, joined Owen Sheehan last night on the football show and was talking about Arsenal. And if they do go on to win the Premier League title this season, it's certainly something they could build on.
Do you think there's a chance, Kevin, that if Arsenal were to win the Premier League this season, the days of Manchester City and Liverpool getting 90 plus points, that's not going to happen this season with Arsenal, but do you think that free of the 22 year drought without a Premier League title, they could become a 90 plus point team next season?
Yeah, I think that goes without saying, if they win the league, it does change the narrative around Arsenal going into the next few years. They will continue to be strong and there or thereabouts, whatever happens with Arteta. And you know, if they didn't win the league, there'd be questions around Arteta and where the club are going, the direction they're going to take. So, yeah, first of all, you have to get this one out of the way, don't you? And I think once they do, which I do believe is going to happen, when they win the league this year, the whole narrative around Arsenal going forward will be very, very different. They will be expected to go on and maybe dominate over the next few years, or certainly be right at the top every season, challenging right to the very end with Liverpool and Man City, as you would expect it to be in the next few years, wherever Man United are. So they just, you do feel, and that's what I was meaning before with Mikel and the narrative that he's coming out with around press conferences, and he's trying to put the message out. It's almost as if you can feel that the tension is around the team, that they just have to get this one over the line. And once they get this over the line, everything else in the next few years is going to fall into place. I'm not too sure that's going to be how it will play out, but I do feel as though that you'll see Arsenal in a bit more of a relaxed state if they're in this stage next season and beyond, if they were to win the league this year. I think that goes without saying. It's quite easy to suggest that, really.
If you want to hear all of that chat, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says they have a job to finish in the second leg of their Champions League playoff against Carabag. Newcastle are 6-1 up with the second leg at St James's Park and are set to seal a place in the last 16.
We'll look at the squad and try and pick a strong team. We want to win the game, so that's the first target. And in some senses, we want to keep a good rhythm with the players. I think it's a really delicate balance we've got between rotating the squad and making sure everyone's fresh to winning the game, and also making sure players don't lose rhythm.
Galway man and Ireland under 21 international Alex Murphy was an unused sub last week in the first leg in Baku. Also, the same applied on Saturday against Manchester City. He'll be hoping for some game time tonight. Kickoff at St James's is 8. At the same time, Bodo Glimt have a 3-1 lead ahead of the second leg away to last season's beaten finalist Inter. Bayer Leverkusen are 2-0 up on Olympiacos. The second leg's in Germany tonight. And first up at 5:45, it's all to play for in Madrid. Atletico are at home to Club Brugge. It's 3-3 from last week's first leg. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.